Isaiah chapter 35. Now what we have here in Isaiah chapter 35 is really has to do with the restoration of Israel. But it's a very good picture in this verse, or in these verses that I'm going to read you about the salvation that you and I enjoy. And so I want to talk to you a little bit this morning out of this passage, Isaiah chapter 35. Hopefully you'll see a few things that will be a blessing to your heart this morning. Isaiah chapter 35 and verse number 3. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons, where each lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And an highway shall be there, and the way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. But it shall be for those the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. I want to preach to you a sermon this morning called The Upward Way. The Upward Way. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you this morning for your goodness. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, this morning for your grace and mercy in our life. God, I pray you'd help, dear God, this morning for just a few minutes. Help me to preach. Help these that are here this morning, God, to open their hearts to the gospel. Lord, open their minds, God. I pray that the Holy Spirit this moment, God, would walk among us and open eyes and open hearts and open ears. God, without you, we can do nothing. God, I pray you would help us this morning. Strengthen us this morning. God, help the feeble knees. God, help the hands that hang down. God, I pray you would encourage us this morning in the gospel. Lord, if there be one here this morning, oh God, that's wandered away from you far. Lord, if there's one here that, Lord, their eyes have never been opened to the gospel, Lord, I pray you'd open their eyes this morning. God, help us this morning to see you in the Scripture. God, help us this morning to trust in you, to follow you, to gain our strength from you. And we'll thank you for what you do. In Christ's name I pray it. Amen. Amen. Now, looking back up in verse 3, there's a few things I want to point out here before we get down to the text. I'm going to preach to you out of verse 8, 9, and 10. But this is one of my favorite verses of Scripture here in verse 3. It says, strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Now, it didn't say the Lord would strengthen them, although I know He will. But it says, strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come. I hope you'll allow me just to stop right there and say, your God will come. One of these days, listen, we in manifold temptations right here. Like old Peter said, you're going to go through manifold. Manifold means manifold. Manifold temptations here right now, this day and time. We're going to go through some troubles. The Lord said, you're going to have in this world, He said, you're going to have temptations. You're going to have trials. You're going to have, everything's not going to be fair, Brother Steve. No, sir. I've dealt with a lot of young folks over the last couple of weeks, and their cry, their concern was, it's not fair. It's not fair. And I would like to be able to pat them on the back and tell them it's going to get better, but as long as we're in this life, things are not going to be fair. Things are not going to be the way we want it all the time, every day. But thank God the Lord's good enough to us to give us handfuls on purpose. He drops us what we need, don't He? But it says, strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. And I tell you this morning, really and truly, I know what to expect in this life. I know what to expect tomorrow and the next day and the next day. Job said, man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. I know what to expect. But I thank God for God's people, there's strength involved. You can have strength. He said, strengthen the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. And I'll just be frank with you. This morning, I'm tired of seeing God's people walk around defeated.
Yes. Yeah. That
sure is good to be saved, isn't it, brother? I don't know. I'd go check yourself if I was you. Always walking around moping and complaining. I don't know if you know what serving God is all about. I don't know if you know what a relationship with God is all about. Listen, one day, when I was a boy, I used to have to walk to school a pretty good ways, a couple of miles anyway. And these boys used to come and get me after big boys are kind of mean. But anyway, especially if the little kid was my size. But anyway, those folks, those couple of fellas used to get me every day after school when we'd get out of sight of the school. And they'd grab me by the back of the neck and shove me over, bend over like that. And those fellas would make me walk, and they must have knew it. Somebody probably done it to them. They've probably taken it out of me. But anyway, those fellas would shove me over and make me walk, bend over a couple of, about a mile and a half, I guess. And that began to hurt. Aches and pains begin to manifest themselves when you walk that far, bent over like that. And them boys was mean. I mean, them boys was mean. Had me bent over, walk, boy. But one day, listen, I was bent over like this, just submitted to it. Ain't nothing I can do about it. These boys whooping me. These boys bigger than me. And I was just walk, and I heard a voice. Hey! You know who that was? That was my big brother. As soon as I heard that, I took heart.
Oh, yeah.
My brother was about, I don't know how old he was at the time, 16 or 17, but he had done quit school at that time. And I'm not a proponent of quitting school, but that day I was glad my brother was not still on the bus or still in his school classroom or something. But I was bent over at the waist and I didn't see him. I didn't know exactly where he was at, but I heard his voice.
Yeah.
And I knew one thing, I wasn't going to have to be bent over very much longer. Them fellas let me go and I stood up taller than I'd ever been in my life. You fellas are in trouble. You fellas are in trouble. Listen, Christians, as a lost man, you spent your whole life bent over under a weight of sin, over a burden of sin. Your hands was hanging down and your knees was getting weak to the point of exhaustion.
Right.
And when you heard the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ, you took a burden off your neck. Amen. You was able to stand up for the very first time and look around and say,
amen.
But some of you's forgot what it feels like for that burden to come off. Some of you's forgot what, I mean, you've gotten over the joy of your salvation. You've got over being free from the penalty and the burden of sin, and you've allowed yourself to look around at the weak and beggarly elements, and you've been defeated by them. You've been discouraged by them. And the Bible says here, strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. How in the world could you take heart in a world like this? How could you take heart in a world like this when every time you turn on the Fox News, and I recommend you turn it off, every time you turn that stuff on, you see this country's falling and that country's falling and this country went to war with this country and the United States is going to have to spend billions or more of its tax dollars to bail this country out and bail this company out. And every day you turn it on, it's just bad news. I recommend you just turn it off and read your Bible.
Amen.
Besides, you need to read your Bible anyway. You ain't read it all week. Turn it off. You say, I ain't got time to read it. Well, replace Fox News with the Bible. Then you have, time to read. Then you'll have time to read. How are we going to take heart in a world like this, where every day when you turn on the news, some other person's kid's been kidnapped? Can't even let your kids go out in the street and play these days. When I was a boy, my girl's age, I'd be across a mountain, running by myself, doing whatever I wanted to do. You can't even let them get outside this day and time. Somebody would come by and pick them up. How in the world can you get peace in a world like we live in? When it's bad news after bad news after bad news after bad news. Turn on the television and find out even if you sweeten your coffee, you'll get cancer from it.
Yep.
If you don't sweeten your coffee, you'll have a sugar deficiency and you'll die from that.
Yep.
They used to have a saying for that, but I can't say it from the pulpit. Say to them that are fearful or of a fearful heart, be strong. Fear not. Behold, your God will come. One of these days, we put up with manifold temptations right now, but one of these days, the Lord's going to come and take off the cuffs of this old flesh. Everything's going to be all right then. Everything's going to be all right then. You can count on that. He says, your God will come It says, "Your God will," it says, "will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you."
Yes.
Now, even though he's talking to Israel here, I have no doubt with that. I can turn over to Ephesians chapter 1 and say that the Lord Jesus Christ sealed me with the Holy Spirit of promise, and that's the earnest of my inheritance.
Right.
Until the day that he comes and redeems this old body, one of these days, everything that's against me, everything that's worrying me, everything that's bothering me, everything that's against me, whether it be my mother or my father or my brother, man's enemies and those of his house, the Bible says. It doesn't matter who it is or what it is that's bothering me. The finance that I got in over my head with, can't afford my house, can't afford my car, can't afford this, can't afford that. We've allowed the world to lead us astray. It's what got us, even us, Christians in bondage.
Amen.
How am I going to make my mortgage? How am I going to make the rent? How am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? How am I going to satisfy Aunt Judy? How am I going to satisfy this one? Oh, this one will be mad at me. If I do this, this will be mad at me. And it's constantly, if you have hair, pulling it out.
Yeah.
One of these days, the Lord is going to come, and though your soul is saved, He's going to save you from a heap of mess.
Yeah.
What kind of problem that you have? What kind of problem do you have today that the rapture wouldn't take care of? You say, "Preacher, I don't believe in the rapture." Sorry, I hate that for you. I hate that for you. I really do. But He says, "Be strong. Fear not. Fear not." Fear not.
Amen.
I like that verse that says, "Fear not, little children. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom."
Amen.
To give you the kingdom.
Yes.
We worry too much. We was talking about it this morning. We was talking about ladies in the Sunday school service. You missed it. Sorry you missed it.
Amen.
You know this, I'm getting a little bit off of text here this morning, but I believe it'll be all right.
Oh, yeah.
I believe it'll be all right.
Sure.
Have you ever heard some preacher stand up and say, "The husband is the head, but the wife is the neck. And the neck turns the head." Where's the verse for that right there at?
Right.
That husband is a picture of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Yes.
That wife is a picture of the church. Does the church turn Christ? No, sir. You know what the wife's job is? The wife's job, listen, I'm going to make this real easy on you. The wife's job is not to worry.
Yes.
Amen. Right?
Yeah, right.
Be careful for nothing.
Yes.
What you afraid of? You folks say?
Yeah, come on, preacher.
Folks born again?
Yeah, sure.
What you worried about? You got a husband in heaven. And it's His good pleasure to give you the kingdom, to take care of you, to lead you, to guide you, to provide for you, to walk with you, to fellowship with you, to answer your prayers. All you need in this life is a prayer of faith. And if you've got a prayer of faith, then you've got obedience, you've got a thankful heart, those things will put you in a heap better position than you are right now. A great deal of a better condition than you are right now. This fearful life that we live. Verse number 8. "And a highway shall be there, and a way. And it shall be called the way of holiness." Listen, there's only one thing this morning that provides me with any hope, and that's the way. That's the way. Listen, this is talking about a literal highway. This is talking about the King's highway. But listen, everything right now that we have in this life spiritually, one day we're going to have literally and visibly right in front of us. The Lord is going to give us all of this and heaven too. And it's going to be real. Jesus Christ said in John chapter 14, He said, "I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus Christ is my way right now. I'm not looking for salvation one day. I am saved right now."
Amen.
You say, "How in the world could you make such a boast like that?" I'm on the way.
Amen.
I'm in the way, the bright and shining way.
Amen.
I'm in the glory land way. I'm on the upward way this morning.
Amen.
There ain't no way for me to go down. The only way I can go down is to step back, take my eyes off of God, and get off of my knees and close my Bible.
Yeah.
And the Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard.
Right.
Yeah, all you got to do to have a hard time is, you don't even have to worry about it. Just get on the way of transgression. You'll find a hard time. Matter of fact, if things are so rough for you, you might be a transgressor. You might need to get right with God.
Amen. Yeah.
You might want to examine yourself, brethren, to see whether or not you're in the faith.
Yes.
And a highway shall be there, and a way. And it shall be called the way of holiness.
Yes.
Could you call Jesus Christ anything but the way of holiness?
Amen.
I recommend it to you.
Amen.
I recommend that you get your eyes off of Jesus Christ as a way of social reform. And realize that Jesus Christ is the way of holiness. Matter of fact, His holiness and His righteousness is the only thing that allows you to sit here this morning and say, thank God. Thank God. I believe in sovereign holiness.
Yes.
That's what I believe in.
Amen.
It's God's holiness. It's God's goodness. The Bible says the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance.
Yes.
Hey, I believe it's God's goodness. I believe it's God's righteousness that makes Him a trustworthy Savior.
Yes.
I don't know how many of us has ever thought of Jesus Christ as trustworthy. We've heard that. We've heard it quoted. God is faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. We've heard that time and time and time again. But what we ought to realize is that God is not only faithful, He's a holy God. God does not just allow any old thing to come and take place in our lives, in our churches, in our homes. God is repulsed by unholiness.
Yes. Amen.
Yes, sir. We don't hear much preaching like that anymore these days, but I promise you the problems that we have comes from a lack of holiness. In the churches we have programs, we have more programs than we have goodness. We have more entertainment than we have holiness. Anyway, I'll just say it this way. We need less skits and less plays. This is not a theater.
Yeah, right. Amen.
And we need more of God's holiness and God's righteousness and more preaching. Listen, God said He chose the foolishness of preaching.
That's right.
Yes.
Not the foolishness of Hollywood.
Yeah.
Not the foolishness of pretending.
Right.
Folks don't need us to get up here and visually illustrate the narrow way. They need us to get up here and preach the gospel.
Amen.
They need you down at the workplace to open up the Bible once in a while in the break room and show, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify God. That's what they need. That's what they need. But I'm afraid that the Christian life has taken on a mirror image of a weak and sensual church service. It's no longer a church service that's magnified by holiness.
Right.
And not just holiness, but God's holiness.
Right.
And the holiness, listen, the holiness that it took to pay for your sins on the cross. Listen, the thing that paid for your sins is holiness.
Right.
When Jesus Christ was nailed to the cross, they didn't just pick out some fella out of the crowd. They had to find one that was able.
Yeah.
One that was spotless. One that was sinless to take you away. The Bible says, and the highway shall be there, and the way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. Look what it says, the unclean shall not pass over. I wish I could stay there a little while because I know y'all need that kind of preaching. We need to examine ourselves and find the uncleanness and get it out. And just as an example, I got to give you an example. That way you've got a starting place. How about all the death that's in your house? Preacher, you're going to meddle down to their house? Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah.
I've got to, because you need the help that comes from it.
Yeah.
How about all the death that's in your house? I want you to go home today and I want you to pull out your little DVD case and see how much death is in there.
Right.
You don't really have to examine it too close. Just turn it around and look at the rating. Gross violence. What in the world would a Christian want with gross violence? Preacher, you're meddling.
Yeah.
You're meddling. It's exactly what we're doing. Listen, I'm trying to help you though. Listen, Jesus Christ said He came to give us life, but He came to give us life more abundantly. Why are we glorifying death? It's no wonder why we walk around depressed all the time and gloomy and doomy all the time. It's no wonder all of our teenagers can't wear nothing but black these day and time. We've been worshiping death. It's okay if somebody gets killed as long as it's Josie Wales that does the killing.
You know,
John Wayne and Clint Eastwood don't make killing okay. But we're glad to see it. We glorify death. We ought not glorify death. Listen, when I took that stuff and I throwed it in my trash can, that was the best day my home had had in a long time. Felt cleaner after that. Uncleanness. Unholy. You say, well, it sure is entertainment. It sure is entertaining, Brother Mike. I know, I realize it's entertaining to the flesh. I realize that. But what you need is not entertainment. You need holiness. You need righteousness. Your life will be better. Why is my life falling apart? Because you're worshiping the ultimate falling apart of life. In death. Think about it a little bit. Use your mind a little bit for something else besides a Hollywood or a sponge. It says the unclean shall not pass over. Now we're getting to the good part, trust me. But look what it says. It shall be for those the wayfaring men. Though fools, now listen, though fools, even though the wayfaring men are fools, pay attention to what you're reading now. The wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. The best chance a fool has got is to get into the gospel.
Yes.
He says these wayfaring men, even though they're fools, the men that travel this way, not going to make no mistakes. I can't even hardly imagine that. You know who I find on this way? I find the same people on this way that I find in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Not many wise men.
Right.
Not many wise men. I find despised men.
Yes.
I find foolish men.
Yes.
If I look real close, I find myself.
Amen.
I don't see why God would use a fellow like me. I just don't see it. Made a lot of bad decisions in my life. Never been to a college. Never been to a Bible school. I don't have any credit to my name. I don't have any great houses and big lands. I don't have any of that stuff, Brother Ralph. And in the world's eyes, I'm just a fool. I don't have any nobility. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, not many noble.
Right.
I don't have any DD or I don't even know what the rest of them are. I don't have none of that stuff after my name. I don't have any of that stuff. All I am is a fool in the eyes of the world. That's all. But the Lord says, just get up there and open your mouth. Oh Lord, I'm ashamed to open my mouth. And the Lord says, okay, just open your mouth wide and I'll fill it.
Right there.
Wow. What about study? Go ahead and study. Get in my Bible and study. Oh yeah. I'm going to say this right here. And I think when I get up, I'm going to open up this verse of Scripture and I'm going to really let them have it.
Oh yeah.
And all I end up doing is spitting out what they're saying. And by the time I get done, ranting and raving, I'm up here thinking, my goodness, I've made a mess of this. Oh my goodness, I've made a mess of this. I've messed it up again, Lord. I'm going to have to turn loose out of here and ain't none of them coming back. Close my Bible in shame and see if there's a place I can sneak out. I've made such a mess of things. And before I can get to the door, somebody comes up. The wayfaring men, though fools, they don't err. When God looks at me, He don't see blunders from the pulpit. He don't see mistakes I made in my Bible study. He don't see my words getting twisted up, or He don't see the fact that there's no DDS after my name.
Right.
He don't see none of that stuff. All He sees is a fool that's saved by the grace of God.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's what He sees. You say, what is that, Brother Mike? That's what you get by being in the upward way. That's what you get by being in the upward way. The wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. Let's move on. Verse number 9. No lion shall be there. Now, it's hard to spiritualize that verse. Because if you look around today, you might see some lions in here.
Right.
That old lion there, he's a devourer.
Right.
Yeah. He's a killer. The Bible says the thief cometh not before to kill, to steal, and to destroy. You and I in this life, we're going to run into a few lions. And the Lord might let a few lions slip in here, but listen, last night I was down on my knees praying, Lord, protect this place
Protect this church right here. Protect this place where we meet. God, don't let any distractions come in. God, don't let anything come in that would tear us up. Don't let anything come in here that would destroy us and carry us away. But then a great thought comes to my mind. Lord, why not convert them lives?
Yeah, amen.
I'd like to go into heaven leading a couple of lives. Lord, look, this fellow come in and meet some damage. Lord, this man right here come in wanting to tear up the church. But look, he messed around and come to the wrong place. He come to a place where somebody was praying. He come to a place where somebody was preaching the gospel. And he got down deep in his heart and revealed something to him he never imagined. You know, there is people that live justified. You know, there are people, listen, I know people in my family that they only live to tear something up. Don't you know the Christians the same way?
Oh, yeah.
Listen, there's Christians in this town right here that cannot stand the fact that the parking lot's full out there at People's Baptist Church.
Yeah.
People's Baptist Church fell apart a long time ago, Brother Steve. Thank God we haven't gone through that. It's a graveyard under there.
Right.
Matter of fact, I put in a flood for tonight. Y'all come tonight, we're going to preach about a graveyard of fools. You know what People's Baptist Church is? It's a graveyard of fools. And every once in a while, God will come by and feel hard and say, "Just look! Get up."
Amen. Right.
And that's what he does right here. People can't stand it. When they had to leave here because this place was a mess, they thought, "Well, now that I'm gone, this place will never amount to nothing."
Right.
You say, "What is that, Brother Mike?" That's a lie. Just trying to mess things up and tear things up. One of these days, listen, one of these things, the Bible says, there ain't going to be no lines. There's only going to be one line. And that's the line of the tribe of Judah. A lamb never felt safer than standing underneath the shadow of the line of the tribe of Judah.
Amen.
Yes, sirree. That day my brother come out there and got a hold of them fellas and throwed them around a little bit and tossed them around a little bit. I never walked home bent over again. Never. Not one time. Never again. It says the redeemed shall walk there. Look in verse 10. Let me read you this and then we'll close and go to the house. It says, "The ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion." That's my destination. I'm going to the New Jerusalem one day. It says, "The ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads." You know, that verse right there doesn't say they're going to return to Zion and receive songs and everlasting joy. It says they're going to come with songs and everlasting joy. You know what the Bible says? I want to read you something about this Jerusalem. Psalm 137, verse 1 through 4 says this, "By the rivers of Babylon." It says, "There we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, Sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land?" And they hung up their harps right there on those willow trees and walked away from joy and from gladness and from songs. And I believe when they came back from Babylon out of captivity, though those men set up a form of godliness, and though they set up the temple and they set up their porters and their keepers and their treasurers and their singers, I don't believe the songs were ever sung quite like they were sung before they went into captivity ever again. Ever again. And listen, it had never been the same after that. When they hung their harps up over there and hung them up in despair and hung them up in defeat, listen, you get defeated, you're just not going to be able to come in here. "In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a..." You just can't do that. You can sit back there going, "I sure I haven't been standing up a long time." I've seen ladies in the factories up there in North Carolina at the foot of the mountain. They stand there 8 hours pushing that material through those machines. And those same ladies go to church on Sunday, "Oh, I just can't stand up. You can do what you want to do. If you love making money, you can stand up 8 hours and feed those machines. You know what's wrong with Christians? We don't have a song. The Lord said He pulled me up out of the miry pit, set my feet upon a solid rock. He established my goings, but what else did He do? He put a new song in my mouth. put a new song in my mouth.
Amen.
Listen, he said, and the ransom of the Lord shall come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their head. I believe when the saints go marching in, they're going to already have a song. We're not waiting to get a song one day. We can have the joy and the gladness and the peace and the happiness right here today.
Amen.
Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. I believe with all my heart one of these days, we're going to ride saddled in glory into the eastern gate of Zion.
Yes.
And probably people are going to start singing just like they did when the Lord rode in on that little foal there. They just started breaking into Hosanna, Hosanna, glory to God in the highest. I believe it's going to work out just about like that. Somebody, some song leader somewhere is going to start out, and when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Wear a crown. Wear a crown. Wear a bright and shining crown. Listen, we think it's so hard and so rough, this life that God's... I mean, it's rough, ain't it? God saved our soul, wiped away every transgression, forgot everything we ever done against Him.
Thank God.
And yet we live a defeated life. Can't be happy in a salvation that you can't even describe. Can't even describe what it's all about. Can't even describe it. But one of these days, defeated as you may be in the flesh, you're going to go in victory. Going to go in victory. One of these days, this whole world and its troubles and its trials is going to fall off, just like this old flesh is going to fall off when He steps out just one time and says, Philip, come up here.
Amen.
Gone. Gone, gone.